Uchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night Parsha class. This week's Parsha is Parshas Tzav. We will be speaking about the holiday of Purim and the Megillas Esther instead of the actual Parsha, since Purim is only a few days away. Today's date is Yud Aleph Adar, Tov Shin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, March 14th, 2022. Before I go into some very interesting psukim in the Megillah that reveal a very important trait that Klal Yisrael should be constantly aware of, I'd like to talk to you all about some of the basic dinim of Purim. We'll begin with Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther, this coming Wednesday, the fast begins at daybreak at 6:16, 6 in the morning, 16 minutes after. That means until then, one is allowed actually to eat. The fast ends actually at the end of the reading of the Megillah, but for those who cannot wait, it ends at nightfall, which is at 8:08. I'd like to talk a little bit about the mitzvahs that surround Purim very, very briefly, and then I would get into the Megillah. We are aware there is a mitzvah of Machtzis HaShekel. The custom is to give 3 half shkolim for the purposes of reminding ourselves of the time the Jewish people gave a half a shekel in the Beis HaMikdash for the purchase of korbanos. That was important so that everybody would have a share in the daily korban, and the minhag is to give 3 half shkolim. The money is then given today to tzedakah, but in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was put aside for the korbanos. Purim, which is Wednesday night into Thursday, has 4 basic mitzvahs. The first mitzvah is the reading of the Megillah. The story that surrounds the miracle that saved the Jewish people. We read the Megillah at night, and we read it in the morning. We have to be careful to listen to every word and to not talk to one another once the chazan makes his bracha, and we should have a mind to be out to the mitzvah and not to speak until he's completely finished. If by accident you miss a word or two and you have a Megillah like from a Chumash that has the vowels, then you can quickly read that missing word or missing pasuk or so, and you still fulfill the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of matanos le'evyonim, to give 2 poor people charity, tzedakah. There's a mitzvah of mishloach manos, give 1 person 2 edible items to eat. And then finally, there's the 4th mitzvah, is Seudas Purim, the meal of having family and friends around the table, singing and rejoicing and celebrating the miracle of Purim. The minhag is to come to shul for the reading of the Megillah dressed in Shabbos clothing. Of course, if you're going to be dressed in your costume, so that would be suitable. Custom of wearing costumes is to reflect on the miracle of Purim that was also masqueraded for approximately 10 years. One could never tell the miracle of Purim from its outset. Only it took Mordechai and Esther to weave together all of the events to show Klal Yisrael indeed, it was a spectacular miracle. The custom is to making noise at the time when Haman's name is mentioned is a minhag. It's not obligatory, but it's a custom is to stamp your foot or to bang on the table or to take a graga and make some kind of a noisy motion to try to show your disfavor while his name was mentioned. This is basically the mitzvahs surrounding Purim. I do want to mention, though, that when you do have the Seudas Purim, the Seuda should begin during the daytime. It shouldn't start too late. So one should budget one's time and how much Mishloach Manos is sent, so you have enough time to begin your Seuda while it's still daylight. Let's talk about the Megillah and some extraordinary events. The Megillah has in it two Pesukim, and we read it towards the end. And as we will explain the story, we'll try to explain the Pesukim and the questions that I'm going to be raising. The Torah tells us, the Megillah tells us at the end when the miracle was celebrated, it tells us, the Megillah says, towards the end, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chof Zayin, Himu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'al-Zarem v'al-Kol ha-Nilvim aleihem, they accepted upon them the Torah she'bal peh with love and with simcha. And as lo yavu lios osam eshnei hayomim elu, they'll never forsake these days ever, as it's written, kichsovam v'chizmanam, b'chol shona v'shona. V'hayomim ha'ela nizkorim, these days which are mentioned, v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor, shall be celebrated in every generation, mishpacha u'mishpacha, every family, u'medina u'medina, and in every province, v'ir v'ir, and in every city. V'yamei ha'purim ha'ela lo yavu mitoch ha'yehudim, they will never leave the Jewish people, even in a time of Mashiach. V'zichram lo yosuf mizaram, and its memory will never leave children of Bnei Yisrael. What is so extraordinary that we have to celebrate and remember this, and it's the cause of a Kabbalah's HaTorah? Another question I would like to raise. There is a famous halacha, and some of us might question it because we don't entirely understand it. There is halacha that states, Chayiv inish lipsume bepurya, a person is obligated to drink beyond his normal level of drinking liquor, of wine. He is allowed and is encouraged to be intoxicated to a point. Adelo yada ben oro haman lebaruch Mordechai, until he does not know the difference between curse is Haman and baruch is Mordechai. Another very intriguing question. Why is it so important to be able to surround the Suda and the holiday of Purim around drinking wine to the point that we should not know the difference between curses Haman and blesses Mordechai? I would like to address this difficult psukim, or trying to understand why it's going to perpetuate forever, and what's the mitzvah to drink the way we are told to drink in the Shulchan Aruch. So let us begin. The Sefer Chidekel quotes a Medrash Rabbah on the very, very beginning of the Torah, of Bereishis. The Torah says, "Va'aretz ha'isasayhu v'avayu." The world at the beginning of creation was void and empty. Reb Shimon ben Lakish pasar kerei begolius. Shimon ben Lakish interprets that the pasuk, each word, is an indication of the Jewish exile, where the Jewish people will be living in diaspora. Baharat Haisa Sayhu, and the land was void, the Golus Bavel. This was the Golus, the diaspora of Bavel. Shanema, and he quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah, Re'isi as Haaretz Ve'hine Sayhu. I've seen the land and it's void. No Beis HaMikdash. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Sayhu. The next word, Vavayhu. What does that signify? What does that tell us? Zeh Golus Madai. This is the Golus of Purim. Tenemar Vayavhilu Lahavi Es Haman. They hurried quickly to bring Haman. Next word, Vachayshach, and darkness. Again, we're quoting the very beginning of the Torah. Zeh Golus Yavan. This is the diaspora of Yavan, the story surrounding the story of Hanukkah. Shehecheicha einayim shel Yisrael begezeirei seihen. They darkened their eyes of the Jewish people with their cruel decrees. Al pnei sahaim, what does that signify? Zegolus mamleches harishaa she'en lahem cheker, kamay hatahaim. There's no end. That's the Golus that we're living in. Matahoim hazeh ein lai cheker av rishoim kein. So are the rishoim that we have lived through in this bitter Golus. And finally, the pasuk finishes with Baruach Elokim merachefes. And the Holy Spirit of Hashem will hover on the void and emptiness. This is the spirit of the Melech HaMashiach, which we hope will come speedily in our days. So the Chidekel tries to understand the Pasuk, and each word signifies to a different Golus. But he picks the one about the one that deals with Purim. Vavayhu, and it was empty. What is that referring to? The pasuk Vayavhilu Lahavi Es Haman. And they quickly hurried. They hastened Haman's coming to the party, the second party. Questions. My Rosh Hashiva Zitzal, Chaim Dov Keller Zitzal. That pasuk is not something bad. That pasuk is something good. That was at the time, if you remember the story, there was an invitation to Haman to come to Esther's party with Ahasuerus, and he came to the party and he left very ecstatic and in heaven with the honor that was bestowed him. And then came his downfall from that point where, remember, he went, he built a tall gallows for Mordechai. He couldn't wait till the following day, so he went to Ahasuerus and asked him for permission. But from that point on, it was a reverse picture for Haman. Ahasuerus asked him, "I would like to honor somebody. Who, what you think I should do to honor him?" And he thought all about himself in an egoistic, self-centered way. And he said, all that which you said shall be done to Mordechai the Jew. And we know the story. Mordechai was led on his royal horse. Haman had to lead him through the streets. He had a pail of toilet waste dumped on his head by his own daughter. She fell out and executed herself. She committed suicide because she saw that she embarrassed her father in public. Now he comes home, filthy, smelly. And what happens at that point? Vayavhilu la'avias Haman. The second meal, the second banquet has already begun, and he's late. And the servants quickly drag him to the palace, all filthy, dirty, smelly. And this is the pasuk that talks about women. This is wonderful. This doesn't talk about the diaspora of Purim. This talks about the downfall of Haman. Why was this pasuk? Rosh Yeshiva explains a very important point. Haman had everything planned to destroy the Jewish people. He planned it not just to destroy Mordechai, but to destroy everyone close to Mordechai, to destroy his family, to Talmidei Chachamim, and then finally to destroy the entire Jewish people. But they stood for one thing. They stood for not bowing down to Haman and not giving him honor and respect. So my Rosh Yeshiva explains that there was a phenomenal lesson of Mida Keneged Mida that has been taught and been carried out on Haman. See, Haman didn't just want to kill Mordechai and the Jewish people. He wanted to first make them completely shocked and confounded and put into a state of hysteria by first writing letters that would seal their destruction. And all the goyim knew about it. And the Jewish people found out about it. And at that point, when Mordechai found out about it, the Torah says, the Megillah says that at that time, Mordechai went out and it told everybody, it tore his clothing, and the Jewish people were literally crying and screaming in horror, to finally realize that Haman's decree was going to last. And it started as soon as the king put his ring on Haman's finger. This point of the Megillah, where the Torah, the Megillah tells us that when Haman tried to impress upon Achashverosh that we have to get rid of the Jewish people, he went ahead and said, what do we need the Jews for? V'yomer Haman l'melech Achashverosh. Haman said to King Achashverosh, yeshno amecha mefuzo mefora. There's one nation, but they're spread and scattered bein ha'amim. V'chol medina yisu malchusecha. All over your kingdom. And as Mefarshim explained, they're not close to each other. These people are not united. They are one people, but there's not enough achdus. We have an opportunity to get rid of them. And the king took off his ring and said, go right ahead, even though the Haman offered a fabulous amount of money. The king said, I don't need it. Go right ahead and do your your terrible or destructive work. And the Torah is telling us, when Hashem punishes, He punishes midah keneged midah. Because what happened was exactly that thing to Haman. At that point, the pasuk in the Megillah says, Oida medabrim imo v'sorise ha-melech hikiu. They came to the house of Haman. Vayavhilu lahavayas Haman. They quickly hurried Haman. Ela mishta ashe asasa Esther. He was confounded, filthy, dirty, smelly. But he had to do it right away. Mida connected mida is being exercised. And then, as we understand, the story of the Megillah is a story that emphasizes the midah we call midah keneged midah, where the Jewish people were not united. They didn't feel close to the Rabbanim who supported Mordechai. They didn't want to listen to the Talmid HaChachamim. And as a result, this decree was brought about. And as soon as they did tshuva, they fasted, and they increased their learning of Torah. Like we know, there were 22,000 young children that were learning at the time, the night before they were supposed to be executed by Haman and his henchmen. All this brought about v'nahafechu, a turnabout. And Haman, instead of being the victor, Haman became the victim. V'nahafechu, everything was turned around. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. And the story and the episode of the Megillah, our Chazal tell us it's in our Sidurim without us realizing in the Davening before Baruch Sha'amar. In the Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LaDavid, there is a whole, the Maharal in the Sefer Chidako brings down from this pasuk of this perek of Tehillim, perek Lamed, it says over there, Histarta fonecha, hayisi nivhal, you Hashem, hide your face. I become shocked and confounded. Says the Maral, this pasuk is a hint to the time when Hashem hid his face from the Jewish people at the time of Purim. And we know the psukim in the Torah says, V'anochi haster aster, Hashem says, I will hide my face, is a reference to the story of Purim. And the end of it was when Mordechai was clothed with royal garments, rode on Achashverosh, a stallion, and was brought about through the streets of Shushan by none other than Haman. What was he saying at the time? The first pasuk we say in Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LaDavid, Arei Mimcha Hashem Ki Dilisani, I will exalt Hashem because of my being poor, and my enemies shall not rejoice over me. This is what he said. I remember Hashem kidilisani. I will raise Hashem because I am so impoverished. And all of my enemies shall not rejoice over me. He said this when he was being led through the streets of Shushan. And we all know that in the last pasuk, The Maral explains, L'man yizamecha chavoy v'lo yidoyim, and in order that my soul shall sing to you, Hashem, and shall not be stilled, refers to the Megillah that we say, V'lo yidoyim, Hashem Elokai le'olam odeka, I will forever praise you. This is a reference to reading the Megillah at night and in the day. So we have the reference of the reading of the Megillah clearly in our davening of Mishmashiach Chanukah Sabayas L'David. And it's all a reflection of how Hashem pays us back Mida connected Mida. So therefore, we have right now the mitzvos, the four major mitzvos of Purim. The mitzvah of reading the Megillah, to hear the miracle of how Hashem saved the Jewish people. And their mitzvah is to say it b'rayv am, in a very, very well put together audience. Of course, if we can't do it any other way, we can read it privately. But Rav Am Hadras Melech, we should try to do it in shul with the whole congregation together, which again is signifies Achdus. We fulfill Matanis Le'evyonim, to give to the poor. The poor very often are not given the right honor and respect. And here we're supposed to go out of our way to show a friendship to the poor. And the more we give, the greater is the mitzvah. Our Chachamim tell us it's better to give less mishloach manos and more matanos levyanim than give a lot of mishloach manos and give a little tzedakah. Because the poor will benefit from it and will make us feel closer to them. Mishloach manos, we should give our friends or sometimes our acquaintance who we weren't so friendly with a gift, mishloach manos, and surprise them by showing your friendships. I personally like to give specifically mishloach manos to people who usually don't get, or get maybe one or two. Of course, they're so out of the community or literally unpopular. The idea is to increase the love between one Jew and another. And finally, the Seudas Purim. The Seudas Purim is when we sit around the table, we eat and we drink and we say Divrei Torah and we sing in unison praises to Hashem for having delivered us from the hands of Haman. So right away, we have an understanding in the last pasuk, because the Jewish people, as I mentioned at the outset of my talk, has been saved miraculously in a way that now not only were they saved, but they were united together. Mida connected Mida. They were now united together. And they were not only united just socially, but they were united with Hashem. Because until the story of Purim, there was still a rift between the Jewish people and Hashem when it came to the Kabbalas HaTorah of the Torah Shebal Peh. We're told that the Torah Shebiksav, on the time of receiving the Torah on Har Sinai, was very well received. But the Torah Shebal Peh was not well received by everybody. And therefore, at the time of the story of Purim, the Torah Shebal Peh was received by everybody with love and excitement. and what reflection do we have to the Torah Shel Baal Peh is the listening to Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai, who is the symbol of Torah Shel Baal Peh, and listening to the Chachamim, meaning listening to the Torah Shel Baal Peh. And therefore, this was a reason for continuing the story of Purim for many generations till throughout, even when Mashiach comes. Because now the Kabbalah HaTorah that took place in Har Sinai was finally completed by the story of Purim. So now, after having said this, let's explain the minhag of drinking wine to the point where we should not be able to recognize and distinguish the difference between Oro Haman, curse is Haman, and Baruch Mordechai. How do we understand this mitzvah? And naturally, I have a Sefer Bikurei Moshe. It's named Moshe Goldberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a friend of mine who we learned together in Yeshiva, Tel's Yeshiva in Chicago, no longer is with us. He passed away a few years ago, unfortunately, in Toronto. He wrote a Sefer called Bikurei Moshe. And he brings down a very interesting nesivos, which the nesivos write in his Hagdama to the Pirush of Megillas Sestorim the following. What's behind this drinking then? We shouldn't know the difference between Oro Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Because when we realize that we have succeeded in getting an unbelievable gift, the gift of Kabbalah HaTorah a second time, we should realize it came about through the story of Haman. Through Haman's decree and made the Jewish people do tshuva, this brought about such a renaissance in the Torah world that they became different Jews. They became committed to Jews. And as Chazal bring down, that was just the ring itself that was put on the finger of Haman did more to influence Yiddishkeit than the 48 Nevi'im that we have in the Tanakh. Because it jolted them into reality. And therefore, what we gain from drinking and being able to say there's no difference between Oro Haman and Baruch Mordechai is to say that both came together and brought about this fabulous Kiddush Hashem that brought about the second Kabbalah HaTorah. We shouldn't just look at Oro Haman purely for the sake of curses Haman. It should blur the word curse, and it should bring about an awareness that Oro Haman together with Mordechai brought about the miracle of Purim. And therefore, the drinking, a little more than the usual that we drink, should become and bring in us an awareness of how important is this whole story. That the story that we have just read of the story of the Megillah is the story that Haman, together with Mordechai, brought about the blessing came to the Jewish people. The Bikurei Moshe brings another explanation from Hagoyen Rav Mordechai Rogov, a person who lived in Chicago an absolutely gadol b'Yisrael. I had the privilege to see him and know him. He davened in my yeshiva, in the Telzi yeshiva. He says a little different explanation why it's important to have a little more and to have it blurred, the Arah Haman L'Baruch Mordechai. Why is it important? Because we should know that it's not our deeds itself that makes it all happen. It appears that whatever we do, make it happen. But we have to know the underpinning message is it happened B'yad Hashem. Hashem masterminded the entire event. And he wanted this to come about, and therefore, I'll read you, I'll quote you from the Sefer Ateres Mordechai. Ki loy Haman hu hamevi v'agoyrim l'raseinu. It's not Haman who brought about the evil that came to the Jewish people. V'lo Mordechai, it's not Mordechai who goyrim l'ashreinu v'l'yeshuaseinu. And it's not Mordechai, him per se, that brought about our victory and our beautiful joy and happiness. Whether it's the good, whether it's the bad, we have to learn it's B'yad Hashem. And therefore, if it's B'yad Hashem, the purpose of drinking is to know it's not just the Arah Haman or the Baruch Mordechai. Yes, it appears to us in the physical world that it was the Arah Haman, that the Haman's evil caused the nearly destruction of the Jewish people. And it's Mordechai HaYehudi, who he was the emissary for the Jewish people to save them. No, it's only Hashem who made it all happen. And by drinking, we will not point our finger to the Arah Haman or to the Baruch Mordechai. We'll say it's all Miyad Hashem. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. At any rate, we have a clearer picture of the story of the Megillah. We know that because the story of the Megillah, brought about the real greatness of Klal Yisrael, it brought about the real Hashkacha Pratis of Klal Yisrael between them and Hashem. We see how Hashem pays back everybody, Midah Keneged Midah, measure for measure. And therefore, we have to be aware that we, in our private lives, must walk away from the story of the Megillah to know that Hashem deals with us the same way. Midah Keneged Midah, measure for measure. We have to understand that's so very, very important. It's also very important to understand that Midah Keneged Midah is a message also in listening to the reading of the Megillah. And let me explain you why I'm saying this. I'm going to tell you a personal insight that I had about the reading of the Megillah. We all know that the reading of the Megillah is critically important. We all know we should not miss a single word. If we do, then we have an obligation to listen to the Megillah a second time. Why? Why is that so? Why is it so strict by reading the Megillah, even more than reading Parshas Zohar? Zohar, remember last week we talked about the reading of Amalek. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to listen to the Parsha. But I have never heard anyone say you have to listen to it again if you miss the word. But the Megillah is not biblical. It's a din derabanan. It's the din from the Chachamim. So why are we so strict? The Megillah takes almost a half hour or sometimes even more to listen to every word. Why is it so critically important that we listen to every word? So I'll tell you with the same message I left you a moment ago. It's coming to teach us Midah Keneged Midah. The Chachamim is reflected in Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai HaYehudi is the symbol of the Chachamim. He's a symbol of Torah Shel Baal Peh. He's a symbol of the oral Torah. When he said not to go to the Suda of Ahasuerus, he said Hashem did not want you to go. The Torah did not want you to go. And many people did not obey. They did not listen to the Chachamim. The result was nearly complete disaster. V'nahafachu, and Hashem turned things around, and this turned out to be their victory, not chas v'shalom, their annihilation. So we're told and we're taught that we should listen to the Megillah. The Megillah that's written by Mordechai and Esther, by the Chachamim, by our rabbis, to impart and to rivet the message that when the Chachamim say something, you have to listen to every word. When a Pesach, when a Gadol Hador says for you to do something, then you do it, even if you don't agree and even if you don't understand. Mordechai HaYehudi was challenged by many simple people too. They didn't listen to him. And at the end of the day, they found out that they were wrong and he was right. The message of reading the Megillah, of listening to every single word, is a message that we have to listen to the Chachamim. Midah keneged midah. Measure for measure. That's the message of the Megillah. And therefore, the Chachamim are very strict, more than even listening to Parshas Zachor when we have to listen to the story of Amalek. Because the whole story of the Megillah, the near tragedy that could have taken place, Baruch Hashem, it didn't, came about for not listening to the words of our Chachamim. And by listening to every word of the Megillah, we instill and also inscribe in our hearts the message of Midah Keneged Midah. We must listen to our Chachamim. We must listen to every word.
I would like to add a very important detail to what I have just said. It's no wonder, because of the holiday of Purim, the way it resulted to become such a holy day, with the Achdus of Bnei Yisrael between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we no longer have to wonder why the Torah calls the holiest day of the year the Yom Kippur day, the day that we fast and we unite our body and soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Torah calls the Yom Kippur day Yom HaKippurim. In the word HaKippurim is the word Purim. And on Yom Kippur, we unite ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah, bakasha, and tshuva, through supplication and begging Hashem to forgive our wrongdoings and want Hashem to accept our prayers and be close to Him. This is exactly what happened on the Purim day. on the holiday of Purim is a day that Hashem accepted our tefillos, our bakoshos, our yearnings, our supplications, and as a result, it became the special day that we know that Purim is.
May this Purim be a very most joyous one for us all. May we rejoice in doing all our mitzvahs appropriately, with the right kavana. May we be zeicha to Mashiach speedily in our days, so we can be able to dance together with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'meheira v'yameinu, amen. Have a wonderful Purim Sameach.